Well, greetings, everybody. Today we're going to take a message out of the prayer that Christ gave, the model prayer, and we're going to focus on it. So the title of this sermon is, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Christ told us how to benefit from prayer, gave the model prayer. So we're going to focus on one area that he talked about. Lead us not into temptation. So let's go to Matthew 6. We're going to go to Matthew 6, verse 13, where Christ talked about the whole thing of how to pray. Matthew 6, 13. And this is the prayer in the middle, toward the end, the model. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he said, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he's saying that in our prayer, we should ask for protection from temptations, trials, and tests. I want to talk about that for a few minutes here. The Bible has lessons that show that if you're in a trial or a test, you'll have less problems if you pass the test, if you remain faithful. I'm almost tempted to say that's one of the things you see in the Bible constantly. That if you do get a test or temptation, that you stay faithful to God and what God wants. If they test you on the Sabbath, you stay faithful to the Sabbath. Maybe they test you on going to the feast. You stay faithful. There are exceptions and reasons not to go, but we're not talking about the exceptions here. We're talking about remaining faithful when you're under pressure or in a trial. Normally, I would say God does not allow tests and trials, and you can pray for God not to allow tests and trials. However, human nature and the people close to us and around us in this world will push trials and tests on us. Obviously, God can block any test or any trial. He can keep it from us. But sometimes the trials that naturally come because of our human nature or the human nature of other people and or the devil's society that come on us, God will allow. And I think he allows some of these to make us stronger. Or another way to look at it, I remember a couple years ago, there was some news event that was kind of sad. I forgot the details of it, but some of the liberals didn't like. And a bunch of law students at one of the major law schools said, we don't want to take our final exams for certain law classes. Put them off. And the lady on television said, oh, the poor little cupcakes. They can't be expected to perform. If the world isn't calm and perfect and even, the little cupcakes have to be isolated and protected. And I just thought the term cupcakes just rang in my mind. People have to be insulated from life's problems. And I think anybody who's been in the church for years and or reads the Bible, you can't come to any other conclusion except God is not going to insulate us from all problems of life all the time. I mean, you can pray, and we probably get insulated from a lot of them, but not from all of them. Sometimes God will let us have a test or a problem because we need to grow, or we need to learn certain lessons, we need to heed certain warnings. So I'm going to go into the book of Proverbs for a few minutes. Just look at some of the Proverbs. Actually, there are a ton of Proverbs with warnings. Wisdom is portrayed like a mother or grandmother, and evil is portrayed like a bad woman, and that's the way it's written up. And wisdom keeps calling on the way it's written, the young man to stay out of trouble. And so we want to look at some of these Proverbs and kind of get them in the context that they should be understood in. We're going to start at the end of Proverbs 29, and at least pick up some of the warnings. And I can see how if God doesn't insulate us from all pressures and problems, it's good to learn from Proverbs. because I believe tests and trials are a learning opportunity, a character building opportunity, an opportunity to become stronger, more committed, to show that you trust God. Proverbs 29:1, he who is often rebuked and hardens his neck. In other words, you get some kind of trial and you learn a hard lesson. You get smacked upside the head. But you refuse to learn the lesson. You refuse to listen. Will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This is an interesting proverb. That was, when you get in a test and trial, ask yourself, is there something I'm supposed to learn from this? Did I make a crucial mistake that I need to not make in the future? Or maybe someone around me, but is there something I can learn from this? And if so, you know, we need to learn it before worse things happen. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Father, that's repeated like 3 times in the book of Proverbs in different ways. You know, if you trust that you can never be wrong, that you are always right. One man said, a good test of your graciousness is when you're arguing and fighting with someone and you are right and they're wrong. And I think I understood what he meant. Can you still be nice to them even though in your heart you believe you're right and they're wrong? And you could be right and they could be wrong. It's a real test of graciousness if you can be nice to them when you are pretty sure you're right and they're wrong. And I think I understand it. You don't have to say you're wrong when you're not wrong, but you can still be nice to them. You don't have to be just because you're right and they're wrong. A lot of internal religious squabbles often feed off of who's right and who's wrong, and anyway, more so than they really need to. But we have to learn to trust God. Maybe that's the biggest lesson in Proverbs, is to trust God and not man. You know, when you look at things like the great communism, socialist experiment, even though there are many countries and a whole book's written up on the 100 million people that the communists killed of their own people, not war, but of their own people in political infightings, from Cuba to Russia to China, the whole thing, 100 million. It's, when you read Karl Marx and those others, and Mein Kampf, I guess, be the same kind of thing, it sounds good. It sounds, the way of man sounds good. It just doesn't work. It violates the laws of stealing, the Ten Commandments. It just doesn't work. Trust that God's ways work and man's ways, sometimes even including our own, do not work. And sometimes you have to learn a lesson. I was wrong. I need to do better. Don't trust that we cannot be wrong. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. And I think if you look at God as our father and we're his children, but it would apply to regular fathers and grandfathers and their sons too. You know, the kids who are most rebellious against their parents, if they keep that up until their young manhood, young womanhood, you know they're headed for trouble. They really are headed for trouble. I think it's almost a principle. If you don't respect your parents, you won't respect your teachers, you won't respect the police, you won't respect your bosses on the job, and you're headed for trouble. I just see it as clear as a bell. Proverbs, so if you get in a trial because of something you did wrong, you need to learn that lesson. Proverbs 15:10. Harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way, and he who hates correction will die. So if you don't like to find out, don't tell me I was wrong about anything, you know, you're headed for a lot more trials. Proverbs 17:10. And we're only going through some of the Proverbs, but they paint a picture. Proverbs 17:10. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. In other words, if you are truly a wise man and some test puts you in a position where you realize, I was wrong about that, because you're wise, you will correct your course and your wisdom will gain. And a fool, well, he never learns his lesson. If you're ever in a trial or a test, ask yourself, should I be learning anything from this trial or test? Because remember, you're praying to God to protect you from temptations, trials, and tests. So if you do get in one, ask yourself, is God allowing me to be in this one so I can learn something? Be wise. If you learn from that, you'll have less tests. It won't be of that sort. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. There's a lot you could say about ancient Israel. This is one where Paul is saying, what happened to ancient Israel? Because he mentioned that Christ was the God that was with them, so there can be no conflict between the Old and New Testament when understood correctly. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So Paul is using this lesson to the Corinthians about Israel. But with most of them, meaning the people in the Old, I'll pick it up in verse 4. I might as well get the whole context. Meaning the Israelites that were there in the desert with Moses, they all drank of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, you know, the cloud that was with Israel as they left Egypt. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. They didn't make it. Now these things became examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So in other words, he's saying the Israelites failed the test. And they were overthrown in the desert. And they, at least the generation of adults, except for two men, never got into the promised land. They died in the wilderness. They died in the desert because God tested them and they failed the test. Actually, they were tested 10 times and they failed every test. They failed every test. They never learned. They never repented. For instance, they get a water shortage. And you know God, of course, allowed that as a test, and it says he tested them. What did they do when they got the water shortage? They could have come to Moses in a polite, respectful way and say, we got a real problem. We don't have enough water, whatever the other details. But no, they start grumbling and complaining. And there were times they even tried to kill Moses, stoning. They condemned Moses, and indirectly they were really condemning God. Why did you take us to this desert? We want to go back to the land of paganism in Egypt, which doesn't make any logical sense. But that's part of human nature. They had no trust in God. They always wanted to go back to the life of paganism. They were always complaining. And even when God wanted to wipe them out because he saw what bad attitude they had, when Moses defended them, Moses didn't say anything like, well, a lot of the people are good. They're not all bad. Moses knew not to tell God any of that because it wasn't true. Or there wasn't enough truth there to make a good argument. He based it, saving them, on God's reputation and God's goodness. So what we should do in our prayers, we should pray, keep us from evil and trials and tests. But if we do find ourselves in a trial or test, pray for strength to pass the test. Pray for perception that you can see wisely what you're supposed to do in this test. You know, pray for that perception, that wisdom, that strength, so that you can quickly pass the test and be blessed and things go back to normal. That's what you should do. 1 Corinthians 10, let's go to verse 12 and 13 of the same chapter. 1 Corinthians 10, 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. In other words, never get too overconfident that you could never do anything stupid. You could never be deceived. You could never fall. I think the Bible warns against being too we got the unbeatable team or the unbeatable army, or nothing can ever go wrong. As one young soldier said, that's the recipe for stupid management. Something can always go wrong. There are tons of examples of when people thought they had it made and something went wrong. Let me give you, I think, maybe the greatest classic example of stupidity. When Hitler launched his invasion of Russia, which was delayed, which is by some other mistakes he made. We won't go into all the details, but they had no winter clothing in the pipeline. You know, you got 7, 8, 9, 10 million German soldiers rushing through to Moscow. And he made a bunch of other tactical mistakes as well. With no winter clothing, he knew that they would conquer the vast Soviet Union before fall was over. And of course, you know what happened. At least in the early battles, they lost more men to frostbite than to the Russians. Think of the stupidity of that. It might have been, it's so dumb that you almost say, it's hard to believe. He was so cocky, his army was invincible, that you don't even put winter clothing in the pipeline. And it takes, you know, by the time they realize a horrible Russian winter, 41 degrees Fahrenheit, and you're outdoors? Well, you can think how horrible that was. Demoralizing. The point I'm getting at, never get too cocky that we can't screw up. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This is the most important part. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. First of all, every temptation that hits us, you know, we can get in a negative attitude and say, oh, God's given me temptation so great nobody can possibly handle it. Paul says the temptations that we face are normal. I guess all the temptations toward anger, envy, lust, greed, lack of faith, and we could probably rattle off a couple more, are fairly common to mankind. And you can win. Don't think, oh, it's just too great for me. That's negative thinking. Don't exaggerate it. You can win. And God won't let you be tested beyond what you can handle. It's good to remember that. God won't let a trial be so great we can't handle it. We need to look, pray for the way to handle it and handle it. And recognize that temptations are part of human nature. And whatever our human nature, everybody's human nature is different. I think God would say, if you're wise, pray for God to give you the wisdom to build a strategy to avoid temptations that are most dangerous to you. You know, pray for God to help you get a strategy to get away from temptations, to stay away from them. And in Deuteronomy 8:2, it mentions that God tested Israel a lot. He tested them over and over again, trying to get them to pass the test. They didn't pass the test because they, as God said, they were stiff-necked, stubborn, and in a bad attitude. And apparently they, at least the older generation, the adults, never got over it. Now, their children did much better, but they, the older generation, the adults didn't. Everybody from 20 years and up. So pray that if God does allow a trial, that the trial makes us stronger, because that's why God allows it. I mean, we might bring it on ourselves or other friends and relatives, but God wants us to become stronger. You know, like it mentions in John that he's pruning us so that we'll bring forth more fruit. So if you look at it that way, you know, there are scriptures in Peter and other places where they say rejoice in trials. I don't know if everybody, you know, that may be difficult to do. But as you grow, there is a certain part of you that could rejoice saying, I'm in this trial, but God means for me to come out of this stronger. Therefore, it is good for me. And therefore, I should trust God. I know that's easy to say and hard to do, but I think that's what we should strive for. And ask in our prayers for strength to resist the devil, to resist our own human nature better. I want to tell this corny joke before we end this sermon. I realize this story is not the way God, Jesus, and the devil are related, but the story makes a point. Jesus met the devil, and the devil challenged him. He says, I can do more stuff than you can. I'm an archangel. Jesus says, former archangel. The devil says, doesn't matter. I'm still quite powerful, too. So God the Father says, well, I'll put you all into a writing typing contest. So they got down to two computers that had all the writing stuff on it, and they both were furiously typing away. You know, the devil's typing on one, and Jesus is typing on the other. And suddenly the power cuts off the computer. And then it comes back on. And would you believe Jesus' script popped back up? But the devil, he lost all his. And the devil is mad and he's angry and he's grumbling, foul, foul, foul. This isn't fair. Jesus has came back and mine didn't. and God the Father said, stop whining, Satan. That's what God the Father says. You know why Jesus got his work back and you didn't get yours back? Everyone knows. Jesus saves. I got to remember that when I'm writing to. Hit that save button every so often. If the stupid computer messes me up, I got something out there. Actually, we got a return button because our computer does stupid stuff when we're writing all of that. That paragraph just disappeared or whatever. But Jesus saves. And the reason I told that story, I want to make a point. God and Jesus Christ, they do save. Their goal is for us to succeed. Their goal is to save us, to grow us, to develop us, to nurture us. I mean, if you want to look at it, we're a valuable investment. I'll use a football example. Some football fans will get this. In football, you get a first and second draft choices every year. And theoretically, if you're going to be a good team, you have to make good choices because it's like an investment in your player talent. And if you don't make good choices, well, you're not likely in the long run to win. So I don't know one team that all their first-round draft choices are cursed. It seems like, anyway, that's another story. They screw up all the time. But aren't we, in a contextual sense, those of us in the first calling, aren't we like God's first-round draft choice? We're a big investment in God. I mean, time and the way things are set up. I think God wants us to succeed. I really believe that. We are a big investment for Jesus Christ and God the Father. And Jesus says he wants us to succeed. So when we're in a trial and we're praying about trials, remember, God is on our side. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to come out of that trial a winner. Obviously, pray for fewer trials and then act wisely so we can have less trials, so we don't bring it on ourselves. For more of God's protection from our human nature and Satan. Pray. But if we do get in a trial, and when we get in a trial, pray for God's help to pass the trial. And to pass the trial quickly and to remain faithful. And try not to have all that grumbling, like the Israelites. Every time they got in a trial, they're ready to get rid of Moses and put in some bad leader or go back to paganism. Go back to Egypt. And it's like the way, from God's point of view, the way it looked, God had performed all kind of miracles. They went through the Red Sea on dry ground, and when the Pharaoh's army tried to go in that same Red Sea ravine, God had little rain to clog up their wheels of their chariots, and then before they could get out, he destroyed them. And the Israelites probably got a bunch of their swords and weapons when they washed up on shore. And there were a bunch of miracles, the 10 plagues of Egypt, they saw that. Now the last seven were, the land of Goshen was protected. Plagues like darkness so great that it you could almost feel it. It was so inky dark and, a lot of scary things. And, of course, they had, they saw a whole bunch of miracles. Their shoes never wore out. They probably didn't think about that one for a while, but that all kinds of miracles, manna from heaven. Think about that. Miracle, miracle, miracle. And yet, they would have the nerve to say, God brought us the desert to kill us. You see that bad motive. So when we get in the trial, don't think, God must have, he's going to let me be tortured to death, or he's setting this up so I'll fail so he has an excuse to get rid of me. Or he knows I'm not good enough and he's just setting us up to get rid of me. Now, whether we're good enough or not is another story, but that is irrelevant. We're good enough because of Jesus Christ. And God wants us to succeed. He wants us to be successful. And we need to think in that way, that Jesus saves. So don't grumble. when you're in a trial, try to stay as positive as you can. Pray for God to end it as soon as possible. Let's go to James. And the last scripture that we're going to look at. And in James, there's several things James says about this sort of thing. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." And also that word could sometimes be translated trial. "For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised those who love him." So, if you get in a trial and you endure the trial, you stay faithful. You don't give up the Sabbath even though you're under pressure. You don't lose your faith in God even though you didn't get what you prayed for. And there are a lot of, you know, health trials and money trials and job trials and people trials from friends. If you endure the trial and stay, you keep your faith, keep your trust in God, what does James say? We're going to have a crown of life. God's going to put a crown on our head in the world tomorrow, and we're going to be leaders that will help take care of this world. Because a lot of people ask, well, what about all those people that died, in the past in many different ways, but were not saved? God's going to bring them, including some very evil people, God's going to bring them back in a controlled atmosphere where they will have to repent and behave themselves. And we're going to be part of the mechanism to ensure it. You know, we're going to be, we'll set the tone and, you know, watch over people and pop up behind bad leaders and say, no, we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. We're watching you, and remember, we're spirit beings. We don't have to go to sleep. We're watching you all the time. You can't get away with anything. And they'll kind of swallow hard, and obviously those that are incorrigibly wicked will eventually end up in the, you know, being ashes, but most of them, I think, will repent and do better. But we will get that crown if we endure trials. That's what James is saying. Verse 13 to 15. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So if evil comes on you, it's not God's fault. It's probably the world, our human nature, a combination of both. But sometimes God does allow it. I mean, he probably blocks a lot of them, but sometimes he does allow it. So I, you know, that may upset people, but sometimes he does. I think you'd have to admit that. But he doesn't, you can't blame God for the evil in the world. That's what he's saying. "But each one of us is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed." That's why you have to discipline our own human nature. "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Then he just says, don't deceive yourselves. In other words, many of our trials are brought on by our own human nature and maybe the outside world, which encourages our human nature to do the wrong thing. So pray for strategies to guard against our own weaknesses. Pray for strategies to guard against human nature. Pray for that extra help against our own human nature and the world that kind of teases us as well. Verse 17, "For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So God gives us only good things. And pray for God to give us more help. And pray for us not to be offended, but be gracious to others. Go to Matthew 6 for the final verse. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. "Pray to be gracious to others that offend us, because the more we do that, the more blessings and protection we'll get from God." Matthew 6, 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses," you mean against you, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So we should learn to pray, to be gracious to other people that might offend us, but learn to pray for help with our trials and end them quickly. And as we pass those trials, then we won't have to get tested again and again and again. We'll have a lot less trials and move toward the kingdom of God.